Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to see what Jude meant when he pronounced an everlasting and eternal condemnation upon the heretics. So let's read verse 11 of Jude again together. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Now, we've learned a lot about Cain over the last 7 broadcasts, and I pray that you can see what God inspired Jude to write, and how Jude compares the heretics to Cain. As Cain went, so go the heretics. And as we will see today, that since the heretics refused to submit to the authority of Scripture, they will go in the way of Cain. In Genesis 4, we saw that Cain murdered his own brother over his rage that Abel's offering was received by God and his wasn't, showing us that going in the way of Cain means that those who follow the Old Testament heretic will be furious with those who go in the way of Abel. Those whose offering is bathed in blood, those who seek to serve God on God's terms, those who seek all honor and all glory to go to God, those who seek to decrease so that Jesus will increase, will be despised by those who seek to go in the way of Cain. Now there's one final attribute about Cain that is also true about all the heretics that I want to discuss on today's broadcast. And in order to see this final trait, let's return to Genesis 4, 16 and 17 that says, Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain had relations with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of the city Enoch after the name of his son. Now, the Holy Bible says here that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and this is critical to remember as we look at what Jude is telling us about all heretics. You see, heretics have no real relationship with Jesus Christ. They know a lot about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. They are unsaved, lost, ungodly, unconverted souls who are trying to pervert the right way of the Lord. So they do not know Jesus. They live in isolation to the presence of God. They walk outside God's presence, and they isolate and insulate themselves from the authority of Scripture. And this means that, like Cain, heretics have no genuine spiritual credibility. They have no license from heaven, no true anointing, no genuine relationship with God, no holy power with God, no scriptural authority. So, because they are utterly vacant of true spiritual credibility, they invent and create and manufacture their own credibility. You see, the only true credibility that anyone going in the name of the Lord should have is the Word of God. Ministers of Christ are sent to do one thing, preach the Word. They're not to preach their own Word. They're not to operate in their own wisdom. They're not to use their own ideas. They're not to share their own personal opinions. No man has any authority from God to speak anything other than God's Word. Anything else that we say and everything else that we speak about or teach or exhibit is just a waste of time and a distraction from the main mission of Christian ministry. Clever phrases, entrepreneurial skills, individuality, personality, style and mannerisms, charisma, all of these things are hindrances, not additions to the gospel. Human reasoning, human logic, human ideas, carnal fleshly tactics do not assist gospel ministry, beloved. They detract from it. Madison Avenue marketing techniques, Wall Street financial schemes, American business initiatives, circus acts, clown stunts, sports attractions, those are not tools employed by those who preach the biblical gospel. They represent things that take away from genuine biblical ministry. So preaching is not about the preacher. It never has been and never will be. When preaching is about the preacher, then it is not real preaching. Biblical preaching is about God and what God has done and what God has said. Scriptural preaching allows men to see Jesus Christ. It allows men to hear Jesus and know Jesus. It allows men to love Jesus and allows men to clearly see their sins and come to God for mercy and grace. Real preaching can do all of this because God has inspired what He spoke. And when what God spoke is faithfully preached, it has that kind of effect on people. What man has said can make other men feel good. It can motivate and stimulate people to do great things. It can inform and educate them, but it does not possess the power to convict them or to change them or to forgive their sins or to rescue them from God's wrath. Only God, only what God has said can do that. Motivational speakers or so-called life coaches are not the same thing as ministers of the gospel. Much of the motivational speakers that are popular are not even Christians today. Many of them are modern-day Gnostics. Self-help books, pep talks about how you can take charge of your own life and produce a, quote, better you, unquote, are not equivalent to preaching the gospel. And even though all these self-help concepts are very popular today, they are nothing more than modern manifestations of the ancient heresy of Pelagianism and should be avoided by the true believer. Our calling as preachers is not to meet the perceived needs of carnal, lukewarm, backslid, or unsaved people. Our calling is not to make lost people feel better about their lostness. We are not supposed to empower anyone. We don't release any so-called giants or warriors that sit dormant inside of people. We are not told to share ancient secrets about how to make more money or how to twist God's arm so that we can get whatever our lusts crave after. Our purpose is not to raise people's self-esteem. Our calling does not really involve us transforming the so-called culture either. Our job, plain and simple, is to preach the Word of God without fear and without fail and without apology. And as men see their own sinfulness through the light of the glorious gospel, they will come to Jesus, repent, and beg God to have mercy upon their wretched souls. And as God changes and washes and transforms men's hearts, they will be saved. So we are to faithfully and rightfully and fully and fearlessly preach what God has said and only what God has said. Anything else that we preach is just in the way. And every single preacher will be judged by God as to how faithful he is to that calling. Now, although it is true that real heretics are not saved and have no genuine credibility, they still have to possess something that will make themselves attractive so that other people will follow them. So they create their own credibility through unbelievable and fantastic tales of special information, special revelations, special ceremonies, special rituals, or some kind of contact with God that no one else has. This is designed to cause simple-minded people to follow them. The heretics do not preach and teach what God has said in Scripture. The heretics do not have any genuine spiritual credibility because God has not given them any. So these people are forced to manufacture their own credibility by saying that God speaks to them and has revealed unto them secrets and insights that no one else knows. They say that they have seen new and very elaborate and detailed visions and dreams which can be taught through tapes, books, and sermons that they will be happy to sell you. Of course, all these visions and all these dreams and all these special communications from God are said to be sanctified because they are, quote, based, unquote, in Scripture. And all that is a code word that means they're sprinkled with a few verses of Scripture that are taken out of context to trick people into believing them. I want to give you a real-life example of someone who has no genuine spiritual credibility because he will not and does not preach the Bible. So he has to manufacture his own credibility and has done quite well doing it. This man wrote a book a few years ago about how that God wants everybody to be rich, healthy, and wealthy. In the introduction of his book, this false teacher tells us why he wrote the book and what you can expect to get out of his book. This man says that, among other things, the reason to read his book is so that you can develop a healthy self-image and, number two, choose to be happy. In the first chapter of his book, this man says that the interpretation of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7 is that God wants everybody on earth to get more money, get a large raise on your job, live in nice homes, drive better cars, send your kids to better school, and live in a nicer neighborhood. Let's look at this verse to see if this man is telling the truth. Ephesians 2, 7 says, "So that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." Now, by looking at that verse that comes right after this verse, we can clearly see that the Apostle Paul was telling the church in Ephesus that the surpassing riches of God's grace that God gave through Jesus Christ was salvation, not financial prosperity. It was spiritual redemption, not a new car. It was deliverance from sin, not deliverance from a bad neighborhood. It was restoration of our broken relationship with a holy God, not a summer home in the Hamptons. This verse of inspired scripture talks to us about the most valuable and rich act in all of recorded history. It tells us about Jesus being brutally beaten and murdered. It speaks of Jesus' vicarious death on the cross. It shouts aloud about God placing upon Jesus the sins of the world, and through that substitutionary death on the cross, our sins and our transgressions and our lost condition could be forgiven, and we could be delivered from the unspeakable wrath of God against those sins, and we could be washed in holy and pure blood, and we could be declared to be righteous by a sovereign act of a merciful God, and we could have the glorious honor of being adopted into the family of God, so that now we have the incredible privilege of serving God and of bearing godly fruit and of doing good deeds, so that we can give to God the glory and honor and the praise that He so richly deserves. Ephesians 2:7 tells us that the riches of God's glory through Jesus Christ to us is that God does not give us what we deserve, but instead He gives us eternal life that we cannot earn and do not deserve. But the author of this best-selling book is undeterred and says on page 5 of his book that Ephesians 2:7 means that God will give to everyone what the author calls, quote, God's far and beyond favor, unquote. And the author then goes on to tell us what that favor is: a new house in a better neighborhood, a new car, a big new church with lots and lots of people in it that he can share this great news with. But the truth is that Ephesians 2 and 7 does not even hint about anything that this false teacher writes about. No one in their right mind can read this verse and get any other meaning other than this verse deals with the glorious truth about salvation. In fact, the entire book of Ephesians deals with that subject. So, where did the author who commands a national audience get his interpretation from? Did he carefully and prayerfully go to the Greek and exegete the precise meaning of the words of Ephesians 2:7? No, he did not. Did he do any historical research to see under what conditions Paul the Apostle wrote that verse? No, he did not. Did the author of this fantastically popular book even bother to check with the great commentators of the past, like Matthew Henry or Charles Spurgeon or the Puritans or Jonathan Edwards, to bring forth a hidden truth that many today may have overlooked? No, he did not. Is this man's definition of riches as being God's far and beyond favor found in any Greek dictionary or thesaurus? No, it is not. Did he even attempt to explain his reasoning behind why and how he came to the conclusion that Ephesians 2 and 7 does not speak of salvation, but means that God wants everyone to feel better about themselves through the abundance of their possessions? Sadly, he did not. Well, where did this guy get that Ephesians 2:7 means that we are all supposed to get more stuff? He made it up, plain and simple. He took it upon himself to privately interpret the inspired Word of God based on some other motivation other than to preach the truth. And he did this over and over, because all throughout his book, this author says boldly and repeatedly, this is what God means. And this is just an example, dear friends, of why we need to examine what is being taught and why we need to hold what is being taught against Scripture to make sure that we are being fed what comes from the mind and the heart of God and not from the mind and the heart of man. And this is why we need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.